And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold, and all, I'm reading Amplified Version. Is that Amplified? Okay. My Amplified is older version of Amplified. And we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror, the glory of who? Of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let me read this one I have here. I don't think this Amplified though. I think this New Living, I don't know. But this one I have says, and all of us as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured, transformed into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. As all of us, with unveiled face, our face is unveiled, then we are able to look into the word of God as in a mirror, and there we behold the glory of the Lord. And when we see that, our life is transformed into that glory. You know, the last dispensation of mankind is what we're living in now. This is it. God doesn't have any other plan for mankind. In the first dispensation, we saw the revelation of God, Jehovah, Jireh, Jehovah, so many of that. And that was when God the Father was really the main person acting, even though the Spirit was there, and we could see Jesus in the wilderness and things. But now we find in this last dispensation that Jesus Christ was the main actor. When he came, he died, and that's what we're talking about now. And when he left, the Holy Spirit came for the final chapter. The God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. There's the final chapter that the Holy Spirit is executing in the plan of God. Now, for all the manifestations of God's glory that the world has seen, there is nothing that compares with what he did in Christ. For all the miracles we read in the Old Testament, all that pattern of Red Sea and all the, you know, the moon standing and all that miracle, as awesome as they were, doesn't come close to the glory of Jesus Christ himself. Doesn't come close at all. And the scripture compared the glory of God in the Old Testament to the glory that the Holy Spirit is revealing in the New Testament, and tells us that this is greater glory than that of the time of Moses. And don't forget that at the time of Moses, God did a lot of incredible miracles. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, it tells us about it. I'm going to read from 7 to 17. I'm reading the New Living Translation, if you have that one. 2 Corinthians 3, 7, New Living Translation. The old way with laws etched in stone led to what? Death. Those of you who love the law a lot, you see where it takes you. It led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God. Even though the brightness was already fading away, shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way? Now that the Holy Spirit is now giving life. You see, it's comparing. You see, all the glory we saw in the time of Moses is nothing compared. That this glory in that the Spirit of God is revealing to us now is far greater than all that thing that we saw at the time of Moses. Continue. In fact, the first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming, did you see how it describes it? Overwhelming glory of the new way. What's the new way? The New Testament. The gospel time. What Jesus came to do. He says an overwhelming glory. So if the old way which has been replaced, what is the old way? The Old Testament has been replaced. Has been what? So why do you go live there? Been replaced. Was glorious. How much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. Continue. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face, so the people of Israel will not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's mind were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds. So Christians who want to live in the old covenant, the Bible is saying you will not see nothing. Because Christ is the light of the world. The same veil covers their what? Their mind. So they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in who? Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writing, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns now to the Lord Jesus Christ, the veil is what? Taken away. That's why we focus on Christ. You turn to him, the veil goes away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a freedom. Continue. Have we read 17? So we read 18 now. So all of us, that is the theme, that is the scripture we're reading for this theme. For all of us now, who have had that veil removed, can see. All of us can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, which he was talking before, that this is incredible glory, that the old glory doesn't even come close. That we can see the glory of the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Can we say amen? So we see that all the miracles that God did through man, most of the things we read in the Old Testament and all that God did through Moses, God did through men. There's always a difference when God comes to do something himself that cannot be done through people. You cannot compare what God comes to do himself to what he did through a human medium. And you cannot compare what God did himself with what he did through angels. And so all the miracles that God was doing through Moses and everything could not deliver Israel. Couldn't deliver Israel. They were doing all that. But when God came with a greater glory, can I hear amen? He said to Moses, I'm doing this myself now. That's what I'm about to do, is I'm going to confront all the demons in Egypt myself. I'm going to deal with them myself. I was doing this through you, but now it's me. I'm not doing this one through you. Because what I want to do, I can't do through human beings. And when God begins to do something himself, nothing compares with it. Can I hear amen? And so let's read the scripture. Exodus 12:12. God says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods
that all the demons of Egypt that were challenging Moses, all those demons, he said, I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to deal with all these gods of Egypt. Remember that the human beings are not his enemies. God said, I'm going to deal with all this, and I will execute judgment. I am what? I didn't hear you. I am what? I didn't hear you. I am what? I'm the Lord. I'm coming to execute judgment. Moses, step aside. Step aside. He says, now the blood, he introduces something nobody ever had before. He says, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will what? Pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And the Lord, I will strike that land. Exodus 12 verse 21. Then Moses 21. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of this house, of his house, until morning. For the Lord will pass through this through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. Then in verse 31, immediately the Lord came himself. They let them go in a hurry. They let them go what? In a hurry. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise, go out from among my people. Who called Moses and Aaron? Pharaoh. Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also, take your flocks, your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also before you go. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in a haste. We shall all be dead. For they said, we shall all be dead. You see, for the miracles that God did through Moses and things, they didn't go until God came along and said, I want you to put blood now. I'm going to bring judgment here. I'm the Lord. I'm judging all these demon spirits of Egypt. I'm dealing with them myself. I'm going to deal with them. And that was a greater glory than all the miracles that Moses did, because this was the Lord. Can I hear amen? And when he did it, those demons were dealt with instantly. And then the thing we saw next is that the Egyptians were hurrying them to leave quickly. Come on, leave. Go. Don't stay back. So every time God does something in a direct manner, that thing has the greater glory than what he uses people to do. Praise the Lord. So now when it comes to us, you remember that when Jesus came, he said, God is what? He's here. What is his name? For his name shall be called Emmanuel. What's the meaning of Emmanuel? God is with us. God says, I have come again. I have come now to deal with these demons. I've come again. Because he used Israel to demonstrate what he was going to do. That this is not through the medium of a man, not even medium of an angel. This is going to be God himself. That's why the Bible says this ministration of the Spirit is far greater than the one you saw in Moses. Because this is God himself. It doesn't get better when God does stuff himself. And because God did this thing, even angels didn't understand it. Angels were looking at it and saying, oh my, whoa. Remember that angels led them in the wilderness. Angels, all these things, angels were there. But this one God began to do, angels were standing by and looking at it. It wasn't through the medium of an angel. They were looking at this and saying, wow. Even the prophets who were prophesying about these things were dumbfounded and flabbergasted. Because this glory has not been seen before. God was about to hit town. And hit town big time. Somebody shout hallelujah. Had I been seen before? For all the miracle Joshua did, all those things, nothing compared with what God was about to do on earth. And so the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 11. They wondered. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great what? Glory. His what? Great glory. Church. His what? Great glory. Now I want to hear from you. His what? Great, not just glory. His great glory afterwards. The type of glory that has never been seen before. So they were wondering, then verse 12, they were told that these messages were not for themselves, but for us. Can the church say amen? And now this good news that has been announced to you by those who preach in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful. That even angels are what? Eagerly doing what? Watching these things happen. They say, we never seen anything like this. Angels were watching it. So, whoa. This is direct divine intervention. Not through the medium of an angel. And God couldn't use a man to do it. And God couldn't use an angel to do it. Because they say the sight all over heaven and none was worthy except the Lamb. So God came himself. And when God came, Jesus told the world, God has come. Can I hear amen? He announced it himself. He said, God has what? Come. God is here. Hear himself. So you can't talk of any greater glory than what God did by direct intervention of himself, something that he couldn't use man to do. He couldn't use man to do it. He couldn't use an angel to do it. It had to be God himself. It doesn't get better and more powerful and more glorious if God does stuff himself. That's why the glory of this last day, the glory of the gospel, is far greater than everything we read in the Old Testament. Far, angels were watching. Weren't angels there when they were the pillar of fire? Angel, no? It was an angel. They saw all of that. But this one, they were watching this and I said, wow. Wow. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 168 told us that the Lord God of Israel came. Luke 168.
Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because what? Was he a noun or a pronoun? Is he a noun or a pronoun? Now I've lost everybody. He, is he a noun or a pronoun? He. Is he a pronoun or a noun? Is it referring to a personality? Come on, church. Is it referring to a personality? Who was he talking about? God. Because this is God directly doing stuff. He said, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he, God, has visited and what? Redeemed his people. The same way he came down and took Israel out of Egypt. He said, I'm going to judge the gods of Egypt. I'm going to deal with them myself. He came in a hurry, they let them go. The same way he came down again to redeem his people again with blood. Continue to read. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant, what? David. Just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Remember the Bible said the prophets said this thing, they were wondering. The thing was beyond them. They couldn't get it. It was too much. Now we will be saved from what? All the pharaohs. All the pharaohs. That's why the scripture said the battle is not yours. But it's what? God. It's exactly what it's talking about. When God directly intervenes and engages the enemies of God. This is what he did. But now after he did this, he handed the authority, the battle becomes yours. Because you are now the one to resist the devil. You are the one to cast him out now. So people quote, the battle is the Lord's and the kokolaka like that. They eat you morning, afternoon, and the evening. Because after God won the battle, he handed you the baton, gave you authority, gave you the name of Jesus, and tell you, occupy till I come. Don't give room. If they show up, kick them, resist them, cast them out, deal with them. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant. The covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We haven't been rescued. The sixfold redemptive blessing. You see it all up there. We haven't been rescued from our enemies. So we can serve God with fear. Because you know you are not certain what is going on, so you need to be fearful. Is that what the Bible says? Why do we serve God without fear? Why do we serve God without fear? You don't know why you serve God without fear, so why are you not fearful? Why do we serve God without fear? Huh? If you live in your house, and you woke up and saw snake, remember Pastor Victor told us how one day he saw snake in his house. You know there's fear, right? Suppose you call animal, what they call them here? Animal control. And they come and kill the snake. They search everywhere and there's no more snake. And they say, you can now go to your house and you shouldn't be afraid. Why should they tell you that? That's what God is saying. He said, I took care of all their enemies. Took care of all of them. All that snake are dealt with them. I handled them myself. Go back the verse before. Go back to the verse before. We have been rescued from what? Animals. God says, I dealt with them. So what are you afraid of? So we can serve God without fear. Continue. We're ending in verse 73. Oh, 75. In holiness and what? Righteousness for as long as we live. January, February, March, April. No matter what is happening, God says you can serve me without fear. I came. I fulfilled what I promised you. I have a covenant with you. I've dealt with your enemies. I've rescued you from all of them. And so you can go to bed and sleep. There's no more rattlesnake. There is nothing. Pulled their tooth, took away everything they depended on. I pulled all their teeth. If you see them, they don't have tooth again.
Praise the Lord. That's what God did on a Good Friday. It has a greater glory. Why? It was divine direct intervention. It wasn't through the medium of a man. It was God that came himself and dealt with these enemies of ours. Praise the Lord. Do you know why God sent Joseph to Egypt? Do you know why God sent Joseph to Egypt? It was because of his father Jacob. It wasn't because of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. No. He sent this boy to Egypt, made him Pharaoh, for one simple reason: the covenant he had with Jacob. That's all. And when Joseph was explaining it, he said, God sent me here to preserve your lives. Because God said, I have a covenant with this man. Hunger will not kill him. Hunger is coming. I foresee it. I'm making plans to fulfill my covenant to him. It wasn't because of Pharaoh and others. It was because of that covenant that I had with Abraham, Isaac, and what? Jacob. Do you know why hunger won't kill you? You have covenant with God. Praise the Lord. The reason we run into trouble is that we think that we're going to make God do something when there's a covenant that covers you already. I want to ask you, what would Jacob do to make God preserve him? Nothing. Because the covenant was already in place. God was acting according to covenant. Covenant cannot be broken. So all that Jacob needed to do was just stay there. And God arranged everything. And when they came to bring him, before they told him that they want your son Benjamin, he said, everything is working against me. Oh, my son, they took the one I love. Now they want to take a... But he didn't know that God was saving his life. God already planned it. Brethren, we're in a covenant with God. Don't have to do anything. God will perform his covenant to you. Because God is faithful, God is reliable, and God is able. Can the church say amen? Yes. Problem to do something. Look, God said to Jesus, David, he said, look, there cannot be there's no time that there won't be a male upon your throne. When David died, the son thought that it's what he did does will make it work. I started doing stuff that is not necessary. God already said, I'll keep you. Keep this throne. I will do it. Didn't need to do anything. Didn't need to manipulate anything. No. God will do what he said. Are you hearing me? That's what Good Friday did. Where God established a covenant with you. After dealing with the enemies, he came and established a covenant upon the blood of Jesus. He said, forever, always, I'm your God. You are my son. I'm your father. You are a member of my household. And every blessing I have, I pledge to you. If anybody believes this, I want to hear amen. So let's see one more thing that God did, and I'm done. The greater glory, that's what I'm trying to show us here, happened on a Friday. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Okay. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Verse 4. It says, but the fact is, it was our pains he carried. But the fact is, it was our pains he what? Carried. Now we're talking about God's direct intervention in your life and my life. This is not through the medium of an angel or through the medium of a man. This is what God did directly for us, which has greater glory than any other thing that God did before. That's what we're talking about. It says, but the fact is,
it was our pain. See the word he, Jesus is God, he carried our disfigurements. Our what? Disfigurements. Our what? I want to hear you. Our what? Disfigurements. All the things wrong with us, carried them. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. Verse 5 says, but it was our sins that did that to him. It was our sins that did that to what? To him. That ripped and tore and crushed him. It was our sins that ripped him and tore him and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment that made us whole. See, that's what I was saying on Thursday. That God, remember what we're talking about, is what God did directly. God laid on Christ, God himself laid on Christ our iniquities and laid on him our sickness, everything. 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 Everything laid it on him. So he says in verse 5, but it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We are all like sheep. Whoever wandered off and gotten lost, we have all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong on him alone. He was beaten. He was tortured. But he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to the slaughter, to be slaughtered. Like a sheep being sheared. He took it all in silence. Verse 8. If you find verse 8. Verse 8 says, justice miscarried and he was laid off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man. Even though he had never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true, still, it's what God had in mind all along. Crush him with pain. What God had in mind, what? All along. Okay. He took it all in silence. Justice miscarried and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. Verse 9. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man. Even though he never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Verse 10, still, it was what God had in mind all along to crush him with pain. The plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin so that he would see life come from it. He gave himself as offering for sin so he would see life do what? Come from it. Life, and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he will see that it's worth it and be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones.
as he himself carries the burden of their sins. Verse 12. Therefore, I will reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honors, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch, because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his own shoulders the sin of the many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep. Can I hear amen? What we're talking about is what God did. Unfortunately, I couldn't read this thing for you. Do you have New Living Translation? Can you give me what you have? Please, give me anything you have. Can we read this one? Okay, from verse 5. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow. Does it describe all us? Okay. Yet the Lord laid on him what? The sins of all of us. Verse 7. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, because he died at 30. In midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong, had never received anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him. See what God did? The glory of this cannot be compared with everything you saw, all these miracles they did in them. It doesn't come near. It's an amazing thing here. It says, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. God's plan was to crush him and cause him grief. This is his only begotten son. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many, that is us. Can I hear amen? He will enjoy a long life. And the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by that his anguish, he will be what? Satisfied. When he looks at you and looks at me, he looks at us, the Bible says he will be what? Satisfied. That it is worth it. So God will give him many descendants. He says, I go to my father and to your father. You are my descendants. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish on a Friday like this, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible now for many to be counted what? Righteous. How many have been counted righteous? Ah, we are here. The thing that made it possible is his anguish. It's his anguish. Church. It is what God intervention, direct intervention without the medium of a man, is what brought you righteousness, brought me righteousness. The Bible said it's not possible that I can be counted righteous and you can be counted what? Righteous, which means we accepted to come before God. Why? He bore all our sins. Let's finish that. For he will bear all their sins. The next verse. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. They wrote the list of rebels. I saw my name number one.
Dave, I didn't see your name. They put my name number one. That's why the Bible says, if you say you don't see, you are a liar. You call God a liar. Serious liar. So your fellowship with God cannot be based on you. It's based on the covenant of blood. That if you come through his son, he will accept you. Because of the anguish. Because of what? The anguish. It was God's plan to crush him. This is what God did. And this thing we are talking about has greater, that's what the Spirit of God was writing. He said the glory of this ministry of the Holy Spirit is too much. That of Moses is nothing. That of Moses is passing away. But this one gave us boldness, gave us access, and is permanent. It's going nowhere. It's here forever. This thing gave us confidence, gave us boldness. It delivered man, set man free. It was mass deliverance for the whole world. Verse 13. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Do you know why people don't see the glory here? I'll tell you why. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. So we're talking about 1 Corinthians 2, 6. I'll go back and tell you, but let's finish it here. However, we speak wisdom. That's, he's saying these things we're talking about, these things I just read for you, wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world. All these things we are talking about is not something of this world. It's not the kind of wisdom you can articulate from this world. Yet when I'm among mature believers, I do speak words of wisdom, but not the wisdom that belongs to this world. All these things we read doesn't belong to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. But the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan to crush him. His plan to lay our sins on him. The Bible calls it the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden. Even though he made it for our ultimate what? Glory. He made it for our ultimate what? Glory. What's our ultimate glory? He was crushed so we can be righteous. He was crushed so I can be healed. He was crushed so I can have the life of God. I can be a new creature. He was crushed so that I can come under the blessings of God that belongs to Christ as joint heirs with him. For my glory, to pull me out of doldrums of shame to glory. The distance we are done, he said, when he sees the result, the glory that you and I is entering into, he will be satisfied. He'll be very happy about it. Now, the reason that the people do not see the awesomeness of this glory that the Holy Spirit is describing is the scripture that we have for this. 2 Corinthians 2:18. Which I'm reading from my Amplified version. I don't know whatever version you people put up there. But this is my own. Eh? Oh, I'm reading AMPC, right? AMPC. Okay, do you have AMPC? Huh? Okay, put AMPC. 2 Corinthians 2:18, AMPC. 2 Corinthians 3:18. ANPC. Yeah, you're right. ANPC. Ever had anything like that? Yeah, my wife is correct. I will take you to Macy's this night unless they close. That won't be my fault. I'm offering now Macy's. If they close, people, it's not my fault. And all of us, how many of us now? All of us. Now, I want to show you why people don't see that glory. Because it's not of this world. You don't see it because you come to Fountain of the Living Word Church. No. You don't see it because you say, I go to church. You won't see it that way. He says, the only way you see it, you look somewhere. There's somewhere you see it. He says, and all of us, as with unveiled face now, because we continue to behold in what? The Word of God. That's why you behold it. In the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. This mighty glory that's being revealed in Christ of God's direct work and intervention, the power, Jesus, the power of God, the power of the blood, the power of the cross, the awesome unleashing of divine power over the whole earth through Christ. You can't see it unless you go to the Word and you see it in the Word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Then now you are being constantly what? Into that glory. So he said the thing was designed for our own glory so that this glory will reflect on us. Will reflect on us. Will reflect on us. Transformed into his own image in an increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is that spirit. Now, if you don't look into where he told you to look into, you will see it, church. You're going to see it. He didn't tell you to call a prophet to pray for you. We'll see it. Where you find it is what? Is what? That's why the glory is revealed. So, Good Friday may not mean much to you unless you have discovered this glory that is exceedingly amazing. The Bible describes a far greater in value, in glory, than anything else that anybody has seen before. And then when you see that, then the Spirit of God begins to manifest these things in your life. In your life. It's not by power, not by might, by His Spirit. Praise the Lord. Can we see the glory? Can we see the glory? Because our face has been. Let's bow our heads to prayer.